along with me, five devotees from NITK have come. They are all 30 devotees. Let us welcome them to Sri Radha Vrindavan temple. Hari Bol! They are all 30 devotees, right? 30 devotees? Huh? One family here. Also Arjun Prabhu is here. Hari Bol! So they are here.
Okay.
Sir, who is here? So every day they come here? Come in the morning every day? Very good. Yeah. So I am going to read a couple of verses from Chaitanya Charitamrita, after which we will discuss. You all heard the topic secret necklace? Anybody knows what is the secret necklace? Anybody knows? Yeah. Ah, that was called the secret necklace, yeah. So, that verse comes in Adilila. 17.31. So before that, there is a verse here. See what he says. Saranamanaiva yatalabhiti santos yavita achara kare bhakti dharma posh. One should strictly follow the principle of always chanting the holy name. One should be satisfied with whatever he gets easily. Such devotional behavior solidly maintains one's devotional service. So how can we become solid devotees? There are two secrets said here. One is Sada Nama Laiva, means always chant the holy names. You know, in those old ISKCON days, devotees would always have the bead bag around their neck. Should carry always. They will chant while going, coming and all. Nowadays we don't carry many times because we are afraid we lose it somewhere. It is a fear. But whenever one gets time, one should never idle. He says, Sada Nama Laiva, he says. Yata Labete Santosh. Yata Labe means whatever comes of its own accord, be satisfied with that. Santosh, be satisfied with that. Don't hanker for anything more. Or don't demand anything more. Don't have frustrated expectations, he is saying. Be satisfied with whatever is given. Because if you keep many expectations and make demands and they are not fulfilled, then you will become angry, become upset. Eita achara kare bhakti dharma posh. This will solidly maintain your devotional life, he says. Then he tells that verse. Trinada Pishanichana, Taro Riva Sahishana, Amanina Marana, Krishna Sahasana. After that he says, after telling that verse, Urdhva Bahu Karikaho Shuna Sarvalo Nama Sutra Ganti Para Kantaya Vishlo. Urdhva Bahu Kari means, I am raising my arms and I am Shri Sarvalo. Oh, people of all planets, hear me, he says. All people belonging to this world, all of you, hear me, I raise my arms and declare it loudly. Nama Sutra Ganti Para. Take the thread of the holy name and tie this verse into it, he says. String this verse as the thread of the holy name. The holy name has the words Hare Krishna, no? In that, what should be the thread inside it? This is another two verse. Take the holy name and string the thread of this verse. And wear it in your neck, he says, for continuous remembrance. Kante Eishlok. The meaning of this is, you always chant the holy name, adopting the mood of this Srinagati verse. That's the meaning. So, just like in this mala, you see the flowers outside, but inside there is a thread. Similarly, externally you are chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Rama Rama, Rama Rama, you are chanting. But the spirit of your heart is not one of enjoyment. But the spirit is of servitude. The spirit is of the Trinagati verse. So one should not chant Hare Krishna with the spirit of getting some enjoyment in return. But one should actually chant with the spirit of the Trinagati verse. So that's a good thread, prayerful mood, prayerful attitude. And then he's saying, wear it on your neck for continuous remembrance, he's saying. And then he's saying, Prabhu Ajnayakai Shloka Acharana Avashyata Ide Tave Shri Krishna Charana. Very simple meaning. Prabhu Ajnaya Tarayi. It is the order of Mahaprabhu. Shloka Acharana. Each Shloka Acharana. You follow this particular verse in your life. Apply it in your life, he is saying. Avashya Paibe Tabe. Avashya Paibe means surely you will get Sri Krishna Charana. It means you get the lotus feet of Krishna. So this is a blessing for those who follow it. Giving a blessing. So this verse has four components. One we will discuss today evening and tonight, and one we will discuss tomorrow morning. So I will probably not take the Bhagavatam verse. I will take this one. And the other two we will discuss the next time when I come. So there is humility and tolerance and offering all respects to others. And the fourth one is Amanina Manadena. Amanina. Third one is not expecting any respect from anyone. Freedom from false prestige. And the fourth one is willingness to offer all respect to everyone. So in that we'll discuss only one component today. We have half an hour with us. Humility, we'll discuss about humility. You know, once in Hyderabad, there's a temple, Madan Mohan temple, everyone knows in Hyderabad. But they also have a farm called Badruka. Badruka farm, they call it. So once ISKCON was given something like 200 acres of land, you know, in donation by some Badrukas, some people there. But there was some misunderstanding between them and ISKCON, due to which they gave the land and they took a part of it back, and again they gave, and it was going back and forth, you know. So at one point of time, the Badruka people, their relatives, friends and all told them that ISKCON people have a lot of international money, you know. Why did you give them as a donation? They take it back and ask them for money. So they were asking for money and devotees were not willing to pay money. Devotees said, you know, yes, ISKCON is an international organization, but we don't have so much money. Americans give their money with themselves and we collect money here separately. But they were beating up the devotees. Devotees were getting wounded and they were trying to drive out the devotees. So the devotees were seeking police help, and the police may, sometimes the police offered support to devotees, other times they supported the opposite party. And the devotees were thoroughly beaten up sometimes. So the devotees had complained to Japatak Swami Maharaj. So at one point of time, Japatak Swami Maharaj came to Hyderabad. So he came to that farm, and then he went to the nearby police station. But the police people were so cold in behavior, they didn't even want to look at the devotees. Until they brought Maharaj, they didn't even want to look at them and hear them or speak anything to them. They had nothing to give and take with devotees. They were very, sort of very angry with the devotees. So Maharaj went, Maharaj just barged in into the police station, and he went straight to the last, the biggest man sitting there, sub-inspector, the big inspector. At that time the inspector was sitting with one another assistant and talking something to him. And Maharaj fell flat on the ground, you know. And Maharaj was trying to catch his feet. And that man saw a big Maharaj has come and is falling at the feet. He jumped off his chair and said, Swami, Swamiji, don't do this. What are you doing? You know. He was shouting. And all the other policemen in the room, everyone got up. And then Maharaj was kneeling down in the ground, and his face had become completely reddish because of offering obeisances. And Maharaj is telling him, dear policeman, you know, our devotees are getting beaten up and they are getting wounded. And why are you not even willing to pay audience to them when they are coming to complain to you? It is likely that devotees might have insulted you in some way, because of which you have become so upset with the devotees. And if they have done so, I seek apologies for their mistake on their behalf. Please forgive them, but don't neglect them like this. And please understand, these devotees, they have given their bodies, their mind, their words for serving Krishna and for serving the people of India. They are serving the masses. And without expecting anything in return, they simply want to serve the people. They are not like the other opposite party people who want to make some money with some sale or property or anything. These devotees are living a selfless life. try to take a closer look at the life of these devotees. And he said, and I beg your support for these devotees, and as police you should protect dharma, and it is your duty to protect these devotees who are all God's people. He told, immediately this melted the heart of the police. And the police started offering obeisances back to Maharaj, all the police people there. And Maharaj got up and they promised to Maharaj that surely we will offer help from now onwards, they said. And when Maharaj came to know why they behaved like that, the devotees, because when police people had come, some devotees jeered at them, some devotees insulted the police for not offering timely help. And they neglected the police and they talked bad words about the police, and police came. Because of that, the police had become angry. That Maharaj came to know from the police people. So, seeing this, all the other devotees, they became completely stunned. They became stunned, frozen. In fact, some of the devotees living in the farm, they were having an angry disposition towards the police, even now, when Maharaj was coming to police station. They thought that Maharaj will take us to a police station and we'll have a good fight, we'll break their tooth. You know, they were thinking like that when they went to police station. Maharaj just did the opposite. And now the devotees who are angry with the police, now they became friendly with the police. And they completely changed their outlook by this behavior. Such behavior is unheard of. A great Vaishnava has no material goals. He only lives to please Krishna. He only lives for propagating Krishna consciousness. You know, he doesn't identify with the material body or the material mind or the false ego. He is willing to forego everything for the pleasure of devotees and for the pleasure of Krishna. So although Maharaja is one of the Guinness Book of World Records, has published his name for being the widest traveler in the world, he doesn't have a trace of false pride. He just offered obeisances like that. This is called humility. One of the definitions of humility is freedom from false prestige. Are not anxious to be honored by others. Isn't it? Not anxious to be honored by other people. Like, you know, once when Krishna Kalyan Goswami had heard Raghunath Das Goswami speaking the Chaitanya Leela, he had recorded them all very carefully. And later on he came to Vrindavan, all the Vrindavan devotees, they surrounded him and they said, now, you know, you should write a literature. You should write, it's very rare. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's darshans are very rare. You have to write it into your book so that Gaudiya Vaishnavas will have some great asset with them. And Krishna Sarat Goswami was very old. He was 90 plus. And due to invalidity of the old age, and also he felt himself completely unqualified to write such a literature about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said, how can I write? They said, you are the one who knows the best, because you have directly heard Raghunath Das Goswami. So you should write, everyone told them. And then he went to Madan Mohan temple, when there was an Haridas, a pandit who was a pujari, you know, he took the garland of the Lord and he gave it to Krishna Kaviraj Goswami, blessed him to write the book and everything. So now he decided to write the book, he went to various Vaishnavas to collect information. So when he came to Lokanath Goswami, and Gopal Bhatta Goswami, they were willing to give a lot of valuable information, but under one condition. You know what? They said, you should not talk anything about us in your book. Then only we will give you. You have to make a promise. So you have to promise them. That is why you will find Gopal Bhatta Goswami, and that names may be just mentioned, but there is no information about them in CC. Of course, you will get information about them in another book. In other Chaitanya literatures you will get. Those who have recorded information about them without asking them. You know, they have come to know from others. Because if you go and ask them, they will give you all information, but what will be the condition? We should not put our names. So this is the meaning of not anxious to be honored by others or recognized by others. You know, that is also one definition of humility. There is a very deep need for recognition in our heart. Many a times our sense of worth comes from, like one day in our temple, they were announcing the books course. You know, they were announcing different names during marathon time. One day they announced, so-and-so Prabhu, 20 Mahabhik books, you know. Immediately another devotee jumped up and pulled his hand and said, Prabhuji, not 20, 22, you know. He was telling. Again the devotee told, 22 Mahabhik books, you know, he was telling. So I was thinking, you know, Kunjibari is watching, this fellow is behaving like this. So, sometimes we are very particular about how we are being honored. So, there are various definitions of humility. So, the first one I told you was freedom from false prestige. Then I told you, not anxious to be honored by others. No expectation of recognition. Another aspect of humility is to feel oneself to be most fallen in comparison to others. Which means to feel that others are better than me. You all know the story, you know. Duryodhana and Yudhishthira were sent out, isn't it? Sent out who is, you know. I think they were given two different assignments, I think. Yudhishthira was told, find out somebody who is inferior to you. And Duryodhana was told to find out somebody who is better than you. And they both set out on the project. And then they came back in the evening. And Yudhishthira Maharaj said, I could not, actually he saw one chandala, you know. You know that story? He saw one chandala, you know, drawing water from the well. Actually it was Ekadashi day. In those days, Ekadashi, they won't drink even a drop of water also. He saw the chandala drawing water from the well. So he thought that he was going to drink. Maybe because he is going to drink water, he will be considered inferior. So he was drawing the water and then Yudhishthira Maharaj went and asked him, you are drawing water to drink on Ekadashi day? He asked him. He said, no, that's for my horse, he said. Okay, so he is also better than me. He thought, you know. So he could not find one person inferior to him. And then he returned back and told Guruji that, you know, I couldn't find anybody more inferior than me. I'm the most inferior, he said. And Duryodhana went out. He searched all around and came back and said, I couldn't find anyone better than me. In everyone I found fault. Everyone was filled with faults. I have no fault, he said. So, considering oneself to be the greatest and considering others inferior, and that is a sign of arrogance or false pride. Also, yeah. Considering oneself fallen, not just fallen, but even most fallen. Considering like that. See, here it is very important to understand how humility is not inferiority complex. There is a big difference between the two. A person who is humble, he claims and he feels that I am most fallen. But everyone else around him know very well that he is very glorious. Krishna Tolaji Goswami says, you know, if you take my name, you know, you will be afflicted by sin. You know, he says that. Papishta, one of the verses says, yeah, I am such a papi. You know, those who take my name will lose all the past credits, he is saying. He says, I am Purushara Kita, he is saying. I am actually like a worm in the stool, he says about himself. I am like a worm in the stool. And anyone who takes my name will lose all their past credits. So like that he talks about himself. But then people, all the Vaishnavas say that he is the crest jewel amongst all Vaishnavas. Krishna Das, Kaviraj. He was given the name Kaviraj title. So, is he so fallen? No, but he considers himself fallen. But everyone else understands that he is a Mahatma, is a great soul. On the other hand, those who have inferiority complex, they claim to be fallen. They tell other people. And everyone also understands that actually they are fallen. They have a problem. Understand? That is inferiority complex. And people with inferiority complex, they claim to be fallen. Why? In order to show others that, look at me, how humble am I. They want others to praise them for their humility. That is called inferiority complex. But within the heart they are hollow and they are envious of others, they feel insecure and they want to compete with others and show that I am better than others. All those tendencies are there. The difference between the two? Like humility and inferiority complex. Difference. Yeah. See here, there is a letter by Prabhupada. Letter to, this is to Gopakrishna Maharaj is written, see. This is 21-4-1970. You are always alert to see whether you are committing some offense. This is a very nice attitude. In rendering service to Lord Krishna, and his representative, spiritual master, we should always maintain this fearful attitude, which means careful attention. This attitude will advance you progressively in Krishna consciousness. Imagine, beautiful letter it is. So here Prabhupada is saying that we should have a fearful attitude. Oftentimes we say you should be fearless, a devotee is abhayam, he is fearless and all that. But what is this fear? And this is called healthy fear. You need a healthy fear. What is a healthy fear? There are some healthy fears and unhealthy fears. Having fear for a ghost is unhealthy fear. It's not a healthy fear, it's useless fear. But a healthy fear means, for example, I should not touch the wire, it may give me a shock. Isn't it? And I should better check in the kitchen whether I turned off the regulator of the gas stove. Those fears are necessary fears. We should have them. We should check whether I kept the laptop in the locker and locked it properly. Because if you keep it open, some thief may come and steal it. So it's a healthy fear. In the same manner, he is saying, careful attention, he is saying, while dealing with Guru and Krishna. He says, whether I have appropriate attitude. That's very important. A really recent example, one temple was preaching in a, they were actually going to a company which doesn't entertain ISKCON. But they entertain, going in a different name, just like the old name voice, like that. So one temple is preaching there regularly and many people are becoming devotees there. And there is another temple in the neighborhood, nearby city. Now they want to come and distribute books. They want to come and distribute ISKCON books. Now they take permission from the company. Some other company, somebody has got through the company, rules and regulations, and they got a permission now to put a book table. Now you all think of the situation. You belong to the first temple. Say you belong to Pune temple, and that devotee belongs to Nigiri temple, for example. You are preaching in a particular company, like Tech Mahindra. You're going for preaching. Not you are not going as Brahmachari, but some grihasthas are going and preaching there. Now his preaching is happening 2-3 years. Suddenly, Nigiri, they are planning to put a book table, and Brahmacharis are going to put a book table in the company. So very well that it is going to be very damaging. So in such a situation, what you would do? Any of you have a solution for this problem? Yeah? I'm asking a practical life problem. So you are trying to call the temple president, he is not available on phone. You try him on phone, you try him on email, he is not responding. And there is a very short time left, only a couple of days left. And they have taken permission. Okay, so you are talking to the Sankirtan leader. And Sankirtan leader is saying that, no, we want to get our scores. At last we got permission in this company, we are going to put we are going to put 4 days book table. And we will have a big sale there. Sorry, Prabhu, don't worry, nothing will happen. Krishna will take care of everything. And we won't distribute it at any cost, he is saying. Yeah? Because earlier we tried permission there, that whether ISKCON can come and distribute books there. They are so scared of Brahmacharis there, Sadhana Brahmacharis, that they have already seen Brahmachari once before. They are thinking that these people are promoting religious books, and these are sadhus, they will try to make our people into sadhus. They think like that. So because of that, they have banned ISKCON. ISKCON name means they immediately banned. So what we did was, last time we went with voice name, we put voice books, along with it, some ISKCON books, 14 selected titles we put last time, and we could sell it. But these people are bringing Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, everything they want to distribute. And they want some force of Brahmachari, Sadhramachari, they want to come and distribute the books. And they have taken 4 day permission and they are going to go on. They are going to start, say, within a day or two. And you are talking to Sankirtan leader. And you persuade him, you tell him about all your preaching, what has been happening. And he is saying that, Prabhuji, he just doesn't pay attention to what you are saying. He says that, Prabhuji, we got 4 day chance. We will have very good distribution. We will get a good score. He wants to distribute it. Yeah.
In that case, we can say then that instead of Brahmacharya coming with
Okay. So you are ready to send some devotees from here, but then they are putting all the ISKCON books, and there is a likelihood that the company may come to see that these are ISKCON people have again come, despite their banning them before. They may ban, and in the course of banning them, then ban our program also. Correct? Because the management comes to know more details about our programs. Because when they talk about the book, somebody else may tell the management. Not only these guys are putting books, they have a Thursday evening, every Thursday they have a program also going on the campus. So the company may ban both of them. Correct? It's a possibility, yeah. Yeah. To give them alternative facility where they can distribute the books. Uh-huh, right, right, right. Where you will give them? Another company? Yeah, everyone, they will find that, sure. Right, right, right. Any other solution besides this? Yeah. But they will not give you a duty price, they will give you a full price. So you are willing to incur the money loss? So much money loss? Mm-hmm. But then so much money you will be willing to lose. Huh? Say, if they are making a profit of say 10,000 rupees there, then you have to pay 10,000 from our pocket to do that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Any other solution? Anybody else, sir? Difficult problem, isn't it? What I told you is not a fictitious problem, it's a real problem, which happened 2 days ago. From our side of Karnataka Prabhu, corporate wise, he was handling this. So when he talked to the concerned devotees, he said, Jokana Karlo Hama, this is Karne Wale. They said, we are going to distribute at any cost. They said, he cannot stop us. And then he begged them, okay, at least if you want to really distribute, you know, then Ganadhapur asked him, how can you come in our zone and distribute? Because this Tech Mahindra is in Pune zone, like that. And he said, you know, Sabbhumi Gopalke, how can you say that this is yours, that is mine? This kind of beta bag you are doing like a metalist, like a dog says, is my lane, is your lane. He said, no, ultimately, you know, if they are all ISKCON devotees, what's wrong with it to come and distribute in Pune city? And that fellow was asking like that. Do you think his philosophy is very right? Nice, proper philosophy. So later on, it kind of came to me. Then I called up and I told the devotee, I called up the senior devotee there, manager there. You know, when I told him that, you know, when you are training people, one of the very important things that we should train people is humility. Especially dealing in, see, humility is not just a theoretical concept. Your humility will be tested when you are put in a practical life situation, how you behave. In that situation, how you behave. That training should be given. It's absolutely important. It is not enough to speak theoretically, I am servant of the servant of the servant. You can even put some slogan everywhere in the world, you know, all over the walls. And servant of servant of servant of servant of servant, some 10 times you can put. But when you are put in this kind of situation, at least you should be servant, if not servant of servant. That will be tested, surely. So I told, your man is saying, Jokana Karlo, you know, this tone is actually equivalent to saying, I will punch on your nose or I will break your tooth. Then I said, then if our man, if Pune man says, we will break your tooth, you will break our tooth and we will break your tooth. So we say that, okay, tomorrow we come to Bajaj Auto. And we put a, you know, book table there, you know. Now, how would you feel? I asked him. He said, no, Bajaj is so close to Nigiri temple. He said, yeah, we will never do that. We will always ask you, because it is close to temple. You know, ISKCON itself has divided GBCs, if you see. Different GBCs teaching different places. In fact, Calcutta, when I preached in Kharagpur, we had taken permission from Dharampur when he called us. And immediately, in a short meeting, we decided that we will connect it to Calcutta temple. We should never be greedy thinking that Even though Calcutta temple is asking, no, all devotees will take them to Pune because we preached and taught them. We cannot say. So the zone is theirs. So we should hand over all the devotees to them. Similarly, Bangalore or Tamil Nadu, we are preaching. Tomorrow is the local temples, they need devotees, and at the GBC level they talk, and there is a discussion that goes on. Then we should be able to give them. We cannot say that we will take them to Pune. We cannot say that. Like we gave ITBHU to Vrindavan. Is it not true? Like Calcutta, they gave Kharagpur. Because they are preaching in another zone with that permission. Because they are not anywhere preaching, they are not doing anything. Say, for example, if you are not going to Tech Mahindra company now, neither are we going to distribute books there, neither are we going to preach there, nor are we having any plans in future to go there also. So in that case, you can allow them. You can tell them, you can take risk and you can try in Tech Mahindra, you dissipate. Anyway, we don't have devotees who are competent to go and do that. If you are doing that, we don't mind. We can allow them. But if somebody is already preaching, like imagine, for example, like IIT Chennai, now our Ankur Vaishnav has been sent on the request of Banaswamy. You know that? Already Banaswamy is preaching there, and Jagupanath is preaching there. Ankur Vaishnav went there. I told Ankur Vaishnav, this is a pure service, selfless service you are entering in IIT Chennai. Why? All the boys whom you are preaching to will be going to Chennai temple. You don't expect one boy to come to Pune. Do you all know that? Are you aware of it? We are doing it as a service to Chennai temple. We are doing it, it's like a collaborative effort. Like just like India and Japan, they collaborate, no? You take technology of Japan and then, then Japanese company comes here to India and then India also expands, develops. So we are offering help to Chennai temple and they are preaching and they, later on all the boys will be connected to Banaswamy. So Ankur Vaishnav, I told him, here is a golden opportunity for you to do a selfless service without any fruity mentality. You preach and you hand them over to Jagannath Prabhu and you hand them over to Banaswamy. And because they are coming up with a new temple there and they need devotees also. Good, nicely trained devotees. Yeah, we should be willing for that. So here, I was talking to a Chennai devotee, it is very important to teach our people not to succumb to competitive mentality, not to succumb to satisfying our lower nature. My lower nature means I am greedy for the fruits. For that I will break the tooth of the opposite devotee, because I want to do what I want to do, so hell with you, I don't care about what you say. Because there are nobler principles like integrity, honesty, truthfulness, and also one another principle is relationship. If you tomorrow want to have relationship with another devotee of another temple, now you are dealing with him on phone, he is calling you, you are talking to him. Before you tell your decision, you have to think twice. If I speak like this, will it not boomerang on me? Correct, no? You understand what I am saying? Yeah? So I told the reader that, whenever at our level we are not able to decide, we should put it to the top people. Because people above us are more mature. They will be able to solve at a spiritual platform properly. And so that devotee agreed. And then he asked some questions, I answered him. Then he said he will talk to his authority. Then he will talk to the top level authority. After saying all these things, finally I told them that this time you have already taken permission. So send Grihastha devotees from Nigdi and distribute the books. Whatever consequence may happen, we both will bear it. Tolerate it. Now they are distributing books now for 4 days. Today is the second day, I think. Second or third day. Why, after making all these arguments, still we allowed them? Why? If you want Krishna, you have to bend. Especially in relationship. If you are stiff, if you refuse to bend, then we will get victory, but we lose Krishna. Now if we successfully stop them from coming to the company now and tell them no to them, for example, then our preaching may go on, but they will have the wound for a long time. For a long time to come. At least now we told them, okay, you have gone so many steps ahead, you have taken permission and you are about to come. This time you come and send some grace. They were very happy with that. They were ecstatic with the decision. Probably next time they will think twice before they come to a Pune company. At least, there was a talk. I gave them many examples. I told them in Nigdi there is a family connected to one relative in Pune. Rajakumarji wanted to go there for preaching. I called up the president. I told them that Rajagamaj wants to do a program in your zone, your area, near the temple. So is it all right if they do a program? Because tomorrow they will come to know, isn't it? Somebody is coming. So I was telling them how we have been operating with them, and they we had a Dhruva Darshan on flat there, pitching in Shiva Sangat. Do you know? Now 1 week ago we sold it. And last 2 years we have not been pitching in Shiva Sangat at all, because they are pitching now. So they asked us, can you hand over this college to us? We handed it over to them. And then we came back. In fact, there were already about 10, 12 devotees there. And all the devotees are connected to Nigri temple. Because, Nigri is more close to them. So we connected them like that. So why I am saying this, we have to check our motivations. We have to check whether our act is one of humility or it's one of proving ourselves or competing and beating them down. Actually, beating is very easy. Beating others down, that is not considered victory in Krishna consciousness. Beating the another devotee and pushing him down is very easy. I'm not talking physically. I'm talking egoistically. Sometimes all of you ask yourself when you have a competition with another devotee, when you have argument. Sometimes you may defeat the other devotee in argument egoistically, and your ego feels satisfaction, like as if ego says, now I have finished that fellow. But in the course of defeating the devotee, you might have lost your relationship with the devotee. You agree? How many of you understand this point? Understand? Correct? So the devotee is defeated, but you also say, your relationship is cut off with the devotee. That is one thing likely to happen. Or another thing likely to happen is, you may argue with the devotee just to prove your point, although internally you know that you are wrong. That is called as justification, which is also mystification. Justification and mystification. Sometimes, you know that, that devotee has correctly proved to me that I am wrong. But then still we think, why should I bend now? I will try to prove that my point is right. And we try to get some stray evidences from here and there and try to prove the point. That was a lack of humility. That kind of justification actually, it goes against, our submission to even supersoul in our own heart, in conscience, what we call it. So, justification in the long run will make our hearts very dry. It will also dry the relationship. It will also make our hearts dry. And also, it is not in line with integrity at all, higher principles. So, these are all examples of lack of humility. So, I tell almost time now. One last example I will quote and stop here. One Rupa Narayan came to Vrindavan, you all know. He came to meet Rupa and Sanatan. He came to meet they are the most world-renowned scholars of Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. He thought that if I defeat them, I can show off everywhere. That was his motive. So he came to Vrindavan. So as soon as they saw this fellow is an egomaniac, he simply wants to show off. And it's simply in the mood of collecting certificates and accumulating and showing the world. He's like a Digvijay Pandit. Rupa Sanatan thought, why to waste our time with this useless fellow? They told him, we admit that you are a great soul. But he said, that's not enough. You have to sign a bond. Then they asked him, tell us, what do you want us to write? They wrote and signed up Rupa Sanatan and they gave it, take it. And this fellow was very happy. He gave a big laugh and he said, it seems that both of you are afraid of my valor, my prowess. That is why you have given me a certificate. Thank you very much. Ha ha ha. I was very proud. Such a nonsense. Because Rupa Sanatana is the most learned people. In fact, Rupa Sanatana is glorified to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for his panditya, for his learning. Anyway, when he came by the bank of Yamuna, there he saw that Jiva Goswami was a disciple of Rupa Goswami. There he found Jiva Goswami, and he also had come to know Jiva Goswami is a very great scholar also. He thought that although he's a small guy, still let me finish him also, he thought. He may also probably give me a certificate immediately, he thought. So he went to him and he told Jiva Goswami, just see, I have defeated your spiritual master in Rupa and Sanatan, he said. What? Jiva Goswami was surprised. What do you mean? Nobody can defeat them in the philosophy and understanding. He said, what is because you defeating them, you can't even defeat me. How you could have visited them? So what was Yoga Swami's intention? He thought that the sublime principles of Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta should not be subdued by sub-religious principles of Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha, by egomaniacs like this, this Sararup Narayan. So in order to establish the Siddhanta properly and to save the world from getting cheated by this kind of egomaniacs, Yoga Swami got into the argument. And 1 week long arguments went on, debate. At the end of the 1 week, this fellow was completely smashed to dust. He had to hang his head and run away from Vrindavan. Some of the news reached Rupa Sanatana. When Rupa Swami came to know, he was very upset with Yoga Swami. He asked him, why did you waste your time in doing pajalpa with this useless egomaniac? You are simply indulged in pajalpa. Our Krishna time is so valuable. You should do Krishna Katha. You should do Krishna Prachar, Krishna Naam Jap. Instead of doing that, you have wasted your time with this useless fellow. Arguments are no end. It is said that philosophers die with their philosophies. You know, especially Western theologians, they will die with their philosophies. So, it's useless attempt to convince egomaniacs. So, Rupa Goswami said, this is the proof that you have false pride. Those who have false pride cannot live in Vrindavan, he said. Actually, Yoga Goswami was not proud at all. He wanted to establish the Siddhanta only. He had no personal motives in doing that. He wanted to save the good name of Rusanathan. He wanted to establish Siddhanta. He wanted to save the parampara. And he wanted to glorify Vaishnava culture. That's all. But he never counter-argued with Rupa Goswami. He never gave any justification. What he did? When he started contemplating in his own mind, thinking, maybe there is a false ego in me because of which I behaved like this with Rupa Narayan. And then Rupa said, you quit Vrindavan. Then it is said that he went to Mathura. There is a crocodile hole. Even today, you will find that. Inside which Yoga Swami was living and constantly doing japam and constantly weeping tears. Then all the Vrijabhasis came to know that there is some Goswami living in the crocodile hole. And people would come to see an opera patient and go and all. One day when Sanatana Goswami was passing through that route, he saw Yoga Goswami crying inside the hole. Then he went back and told Rupa Goswami, although you are a great learned scholar, you know all the principles of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you don't know one principle, he said. You know the three principles? Namiruchi, Yuvaja, Vaishnava Seva. So immediately Rupa Goswami understood. Please, my dear brother, tell me which one, which principle I have not properly understood. He said, Jivadaya, he said. Jivadaya means you have not shown daya to Jiva Goswami. Then immediately Rupa Goswami called him back. He came back after 1 year of staying in a crocodile hole. And Rupa Goswami embraced him and he gave him Radha Damodar deity to worship. Certainly Rupa Goswami loved Jiva Goswami very much. But through him, he taught all of us what is humility. How we should give up our heart. So as I was telling, when we deal with devotees within the same temple, devotees of one temple and devotees of another temple, devotees of one guru and devotees of another, disciples of one guru and disciples of another guru, devotees of one category and devotees of another category. There is a lot of likelihood, Hindi devotees, English devotees. There can be a lot of differences which are all superficial and material. And we should not, whenever arguments come in your life with another devotee, immediately understand it to be a test of humility. It is a test of our humility, how we behave in that critical situation. That we have to know. So after all these things happened with Nigiri, what happened? Later on, that manager called that devotee and he must have given him a good scolding, I think. After that, the devotee called the Kannada Guru and said, Pauji, maaf kar dijiye, Pauji, and all he said, and he said, Pauji, chote moti baaton ko aap upar wale bhakton kyon leke jaate ho? He asked him. Amongst us only, he sat it out, and he was telling him, and everything. Anyway, what happened with the devotee is not only unique to the devotee, it is possible to happen for all of us, in our lives also. Because we all have ahankar, mithya ahankar is there, in different proportions. And we have to come to face with our own ahankar. Ahankar is the first thing that captures the soul when you enter the material world. And ahankar is the last thing that leaves us when you enter into the spiritual world. So it is not something that's going to leave us so easily. And we have to strenuously work hard. That is why we have to cultivate humility. So I have taken a lot of time now. I told you this story when I went to Ujjain, I met His Holiness Bhaktacharya Swami Maharaj. Had I tell you? So as Maharaj Maharaj, is humility a cultivable quality or is it an innate quality in an individual? I asked him. Or how can I know whether I am humble or not? Or how can I become more humble and all? I asked him. So he told Akbar and Birbal one story which is well known. You know, Birbal drew a line. And Akbar actually drew a line on the floor and asked Birbal, can you make it smaller? He asked him. And Birbal brought a duster to erase it. And Akbar said, no, without erasing it, you have to make it small. And all the people in the court tried one after another. No, nobody could make it small. And then Birbal said, I know the technique how to make it small. You know what he did? He drew another long line near it. Then it became small. So Bhaktacharya Swami told the story. And then he said, and this story has a very deep moral, he said, if you want to gain humility, you have to know how insignificant you are in front of Krishna, he said. So Krishna is like that big lion. You draw that big lion, that means you develop proper understanding about Krishna's greatness, then you can know how small you are, he said. So that's how we can cultivate. So he said, you study Shastra, study Bhagavad Gita nicely and know how great is Krishna. And also how great are the other devotees. The more we see the greatness of others, the more we can also see how small we are. Then we can feel our insignificance. We have to cultivate it. And also in case we have misbehaved with the devotee, we can seek forgiveness. The devotee at another time, Prabhupada, I am very sorry, yesterday I was in an angry mood. Somehow I blurted out some words at you. I am very sorry. And I am working on it now. I am trying to become more humble. If you forgive me, then Krishna and Guru will be pleased with me. If you don't forgive me, then they will be angry at me. So please forgive me. Finished. Immediately it will be dissolved. And devotee will be as friendly as before. But you don't dissolve it immediately, then there is a cold war. Bombay Ravanaswamy was giving a lecture recently. He was telling, I know in the Brahmacharya Ashram there are two devotees having a problem with each other, having locker next to each other. Maharaj is telling. And he said, early morning I see them offering obeisances to each other, saying, one chakalpata rupdrasya. And in their mind they are thinking, while saying one chakalpata, I think I will give a punch on your nose. And he said, for how long? For kalpa. But the entire kalpa I will be keeping on punching on your nose. So he was telling in the Bhagavatam class. So he said that this is cold war. This cold war is not allowed in Vaishnava circles. We have to dissolve the cold war by seeking forgiveness with one another and try to become friendly. If we don't learn to love our enemies, we cannot go back to Godhead. Once he said that. If we don't learn to love those whom we consider as our enemies, we cannot go back to Godhead, he said. At least we should not have enmity. Somebody else can have enmity with us. But we should not be their enemies. If you have enmity, that means we are having some ahankara because of which we are refusing to bend. Of course, there may be sometimes chemistry mismatch between two devotees. Different natures are there. At least you should have a working relationship with everyone. Respectable, mutually respectable and working relationship. At least a Haribol relationship. Not that, you know, Prabhuji, that devotee, I don't talk to him. Don't put me with him. That is not allowed. You can never say that I cannot talk to a devotee at all. That means we have to become more humble. So this will lead us to the next topic tomorrow morning on tolerance. That we will learn more. Srila Prabhupada ki. Thank you.